This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ويقول الإنسان أإذا ما مت لسوف أخرج حيا أولا يذكر الإنسان أنا خلقناه من قبل ولم يك شيئا فوربك لنحشرنهم والشياطين ثم لنحضرنهم حول جهنم جثيا.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the one who is praised unconditionally. And we ask Allah azza wa jal to send his salat and salam upon the one who was chosen as a rahmatan lil alameen, a mercy to all of the worlds. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, we have gone from a long way from the beginning of our series, and we are now winding down. This is going to be the finale of our series about the Day of Judgment from the Quran and the Sunnah. And today's lecture will also be the precursor to our next series, which is going to be about the descriptions of heaven and hell in the Quran and Sunnah. And Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah Azza wa Jal for this entire series that we've done, which really is a continuous series, the signs of the Day of Judgment. We did that entire series, and then we moved on to the Barzakh, and we finished the entire series of the Barzakh, and then we moved on to the Day of Judgment, and then inshallah ta'ala from the future series we will be doing inshallah ta'ala the descriptions of heaven and hell. So today is going to be the last series of this particular lecture series, and it deals with the final step right before the entering of the gates of Jannah. And it is in fact one of the most interesting and also one of the most discussed of the stages of the Day of Judgment, and it is the stage that is called the Sirat, or the bridge. And out of all of the aspects of the Day of Judgment, this one has a special status because it has become a point of the books of theology. Almost every single classical book that has been written about Islamic theology, it mentions that of the beliefs of Islam, or of the beliefs of mainstream Orthodox Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah, is to believe in the Sirat. And that is because in early Islam, some of the groups, they doubted or they denied. And so it became a hallmark of those who affirmed the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that because we affirm the Sunnah, and the Sunnah has come with the belief of the Sirat, and so this has become a doctrinal issue, an issue of theology, of aqidah, faith, that we find in almost every book of Islamic theology. And of course, the term Sirat is used in the Quran for multiple meanings. Primarily, it is used for the Sirat al-Mustaqim, or the straight path. That's something that is understood. We're not talking about that Sirat. We're talking about another Sirat. And that Sirat is an actual bridge that will be over Jahannam. It will be connecting the people that are on the Day of Judgment's actual site and plains. It is going to connect the plains of the Day of Judgment to the gates of Jannah. And the plains of the Day of Judgment, where will they be? We do not know. In fact, there's a hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha was narrated this hadith as a Sahih Bukhari, that somebody asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, you know, the Quran says that on the Day of Judgment, this earth is going to be substituted for another earth. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّرْ أَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ. And so, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where will mankind be on that day when there is no earth other than this earth, that this earth is going to be gone? Where will they be? And so our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen to this, هُمْ فِي الظُّلْمَةِ دُونَ الْجِسْرِ. They are going to be in a darkness that is right before the bridge. Okay, this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. They're going to be in a darkness that is right before the bridge. So he called it Jisr. And Jisr is a more specific term for a bridge. So Sirat and Jisr are both synonymous for what we're talking about right now. And that is an actual bridge that will be suspended over Jahannam. On one side of the bridge is the plains of the Day of Judgment. And on the other side is the gates of Jannah. The only way to get to the gates of Jannah. The only way to get to that area is going to be over the bridge. Now, before we get to the issue of Sirat, therefore, we need to then talk about this issue of Hum fi dhulmati. They shall be in darkness right before the coming of the bridge. So this hadith tells us there's something called a darkness, a stage of darkness. And this is a very important phase of the Day of Judgment. It's a very important one of the stages that will occur. And this stage is actually explicitly mentioned in the Quran, not once, but twice. Two times, the Quran explicitly mentions this stage of darkness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid, verses 12 to 15, that on that day you shall see the believing men and women. Light will be shining from in front of them and from their right sides here. And they shall be given glad tidings of heaven under which rivers are flowing. Indeed, that is the biggest victory. On that day, the hypocrites are going to call out to the believers. And the hypocrites are going to say, allow us to take guidance from your light. انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم. The hypocrites will not be given light. They're going to see the light of the believers. And so they're going to say, let us follow your light and take us to Jannah. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. It will be said to them, get away from here, go find your own light. And there shall be a large barrier between them and the believers. And on one side of the barrier is going to be rahmah, and on the other side is going to be punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse tells us that there will be a time frame where there will be no light, other than the light coming from the bodies of the believers. And this is going to be right before the Sirat, as the hadith tells us, right? So we learn from this that towards the end of Judgment Day, we already talked about the Buruz, the Hisab, the Mizan, the Hawd, the Kawthar, all of this we talked about. We talked about the issue of every single group following its deity. We talked about Allah Azza wa Jal himself coming down, showing the sign to the believers. The believers are then being taken along with the believers. You have, we said, the Fasaqa, the sinners, and you have the munafiqun. All of them, meaning anybody who claimed the name of Islam in this world, anybody who put the label of Muslim is going to be in that group. Now, that group is consisting of people who will go to Jannah directly, and it is consisting of people who will go through Jahannam to Jannah, and it is going to consist of munafiqun who will not even get close to Jannah. They were not believers, they didn't have a shred of iman, but they're going to be separated at this stage. How will they be separated? So this verse tells us, and Surah Tahreem as well. Surah Tahreem verse 8 tells us the same thing. يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِ اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَ نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَمَا جَعْنَا مِنْهُمْ. So on that day Allah is saying, the believers are not going to be humiliated by Allah. And the humiliation here is to be taken to Jahannam. They will not be humiliated. And you will find light, once again, light coming from them, in front of them, and on their right-hand sides. The meaning of right-hand sides here doesn't mean the left is going to be black and dark. It means that will be a man, it means like a positive light. It means a light that is a blessed light. So the right-hand side is the side of blessings in the Arabic language. That's what it means here. They're going to say, oh Allah, perfect our light and forgive us, you are capable of all things. O Allah, perfect our light and forgive us, you are capable of all things. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this stage in a hadith in Sahih Muslim reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, everybody at that stage, the mu'min and the munafiq, is going to be given some type of light, and then they're going to follow each other onto the jisr, onto the bridge. And on the bridge, there's going to be kalalibun wa hasakun. There's going to be hooks, and there's going to be thorns, and whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes will be dragged in through those thorns. ثُمَّ يُطْفَأُ نُورُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ ثُمَّ يَنْجُو الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then the light of the munafiqeen will be extinguished, and the light of the believers will save the believers. Okay? So we learn here that there will be, at the very beginning, everybody's going to be given some light. Now, remember here that when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, where will the believers be? He said they will be in darkness before the bridge. Darkness right before the bridge. So, everybody wants to go to Jannah, but to get to Jannah, there's a bridge. And the bridge, and you are all immersed in darkness. So you need light to find the bridge, And you need light to cross over the bridge, and you need light to guide you into Jannah. That light, where will it come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless iman to become light. Your iman and my iman will become our torch. It will become our light. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَيُعْطُونَ نُورَهُمْ عَلَىٰ قَدَرِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. They shall be given, this hadith is the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim. They shall be given light, each one in accordance with their good deeds. So some of them, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, their light will be like a massive mountain in front of them. Some of them, their light will be even more than a mountain. Some of them will be like, their light will be like a palm tree, a good palm tree. And some of them will be given lesser than this, until finally the person that is given the lowest light will be the toe, if you like, of the feet. The toe is going to light up. The Prophet said, يُضِيءُ مَرَّةً وَيُطْفِئُ مَرَّةً. It's going to light up and then go out, light up and go out. And every time the toe lights up, he's going to take one step forward. Then the toe becomes dark and he's going to stay there, not knowing whether the light's going to come back or not. So this hadith tells us another thing, and that is that light is going to be given to the believers in accordance with their iman and their taqwa and their good deeds. And all of this is a manifestation of Allah's protection and mercy. As you protected the commandments of Allah, and as you showed your piety in this world, so too you shall be protected in the next world, in proportionality. Is it not fair, dear Muslims? Is it not fair that the righteous are rewarded? Is it not fair that the ones who went through pain and suffering and were patient shall be given a manifestation of that blessing? And therefore, according to one's iman and taqwa, they shall be rewarded throughout the Day of Judgment and then in Jannah itself. And of the rewards is that the more was a person's iman, the better was a person's deeds, the more kinder, the more rituals, the more charity, the more everything, so too the more light is going to be. And we have a number of things that are mentioned. Now, I have given these lectures in other series, you can listen to them. I gave a tafsir of the verse of the Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, and I mentioned there that the concept of light in the grave and light on the Day of Judgment and light towards Jannah. And I mentioned a series of actions that increase the light. Of them is to sit after the salawat and do dhikr. Of them is to walk to the prayers, or to drive in our case, especially Fajr prayer and Isha prayer. Praying Fajr and Isha in the masjid is one of the ways to perfect our light on the Day of Judgment. And there are other things that are given as well by our scholars. Sadaqah and other things are mentioned in some of the books about how we can increase our light. The point being that at this point in time, when hisab is done, when mizan is finished, when the scrolls have been handed, and the people know that they now have to basically cross over, they shall be immersed in darkness, and then they shall be given a light. And that light will be proportional to their iman, and that light will then guide them to the sirat, and then over the sirat. Or, we seek Allah's refuge, they will not be given a light like the hypocrites. The light will be taken away from them, and they will therefore, they cannot find the bridge, and they will then be thrown into Jahannam. Now, this is the issue of the light and the darkness. Now we get to the issue of the bridge, or sirat, or the jisr. And the issue of the sirat, is it mentioned in the Quran or not? Well, the majority of scholars say that the sirat is mentioned in the Quran. However, it is mentioned implicitly, not explicitly. The phrase or the word, the jisr or sirat, does not occur with the bridge. Of course, the word sirat occurs for sirat al-mustaqim and others, but not the sirat that is over Jahannam. That there's no explicit reference in the Quran, there's rather an implicit reference. And that implicit reference, please look this up, Surah Maryam, verse 71. Look it up yourselves. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. Everyone amongst you shall do wurud, wariduha. Now, what does warid mean? So, our scholars of the past, especially from the time of the Sahaba, there were two opinions. One position was that warid means to go through. And so, there were some of the Sahaba who said, every single human shall go through Jahannam. Some of them will be affected and some will go through without being affected, but they shall go through. However, the majority interpretation and the interpretation that then became the standard from pretty much everybody in our times believes this. This is now the standard interpretation. وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Everyone amongst you shall cross over it, not go through it. So, wadid here does not mean to go through Jahannam. Wadid here means to go over Jahannam. And so the Quran mentions Jahannam, and then Allah says, every single one amongst you, without exception, is going to wadid. And what this means is that everybody is going to go over Jahannam. Even the believers are going to go over Jahannam. As for the hypocrites and as for the kafir, they will enter Jahannam. But even the believer shall go over Jahannam. And this going over, this is the concept of the sirat. And the concept of the sirat is very explicitly mentioned in numerous ahadith, and that's why it became an issue of theology. You know, when you read the earliest books of theology, sometimes people are astounded, like, why is this an issue of theology? Why is, for example, wiping over the socks mentioned? Why is, for example, the mizan and the hawd and the sirat mentioned? And the response is, it's not even so much the issues as it is the methodology. And the methodology is that there was a group of Muslims, they are still Muslims at the time, that they rejected the concept of following hadith in the sense that they said, we're not going to trust these hadith. And so they didn't reject, by the way, the concept of sunnah. They rejected the preservation. There's two separate things, and I talked about this in other lectures. So the other group of the mainstream Muslims, i.e. what we call Sunni Muslims, Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah, they said, how can you reject these hadith? Because they are the Sunnah, and the Sunnah is a part of Islam. And so they began to list the things that the Sunnah comes with that you must believe in. And that is why you have these issues like the Hawd, the fountain, you have the Sirat, you have the Mizan. And they said, how can you reject all of this? The Sunnah comes with it in so many ahadith. So it became a point of theology that they said that to believe in the Sirat is a matter of being a good Muslim. If you reject the Sirat, then you have bad theology and you are going away from mainstream traditional orthodox Islam. So we said the belief in the Sirat is something that is explicitly mentioned in dozens of treatises of early Islam, that we believe in a bridge over Jahannam. And this is something, again, if you want to, these can be, you know, we don't have time, but I can quote you many things from Sufyan al-Thawri, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Ibn Khuzayma, Ibn Battah, so many of the early scholars, and of course as well, this is in the Aqidah of At-Tabari and others, and many of the early scholars, they have treatises about Aqidah, and this is a part of that treatise. Of course, by the way, Tahawi, which is one of the most universally accepted creeds of early Islam, Imam al-Tahawi also mentions that of the beliefs of Ahl Sunnah is they believe in the Sirat. And so this is also mentioned over there. So of the ahadith that mentions the Sirat, one of them we've already mentioned in a previous lecture, Anas ibn Malik said, O Messenger of Allah, where should I find you on the Day of Judgment? So he said, first find me at the Sirat. If you don't know where I am, find me at the Sirat. He said, if you don't find me there, he goes, at the Mizan. He said, if you don't find me there, he said, well then, at the Hawd, at the water pool, for I shall definitely be at one of these three places. And subhanAllah, footnote here, dear Muslims, how beautiful. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout the entire Day of Judgment, is going to be concerned with his ummah. Either feeding them water and making sure they're taken care of on the Day of Judgment, or making shafa'ah for them at the mizan itself, that the mizan should be heavy for every Muslim, or making dua for them to cross over the sirat and enter Jannah. His entire Day of Judgment, subhanAllah, is going to be for his ummah. It's not going to be for himself. The whole making dua and helping and whatnot, it is for the care and concern of his ummah. And that's exactly what Allah says in the Quran, that a messenger has come to you, he is more concerned about you than he is about himself. عَزِيزٌ عَلِيمَةٌ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And we see this, that throughout the Day of Judgment, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be at the forefront, always doing things for his ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his shafa'ah on that day. So the point being that, he mentions, I will be at the Sirat. And in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, which we mentioned last time, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the long hadith I mentioned in the last lecture, the Prophet said, ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ الْجِسْرِ. Then the bridge will be placed over Jahannam, and I shall be the first one to cross it. He said this. And the prophets, all of them, will be saying, Sallim, Allahumma Sallim, peace, O Allah, peace. And there shall be thorns, he said, like the bushes of Sa'dan. Then he said to the Sahaba, have you seen the bushes of Sa'dan? But they're going to be a size that only Allah knows. And people will be snatched, each one in accordance with their deeds. And the hadith goes on. By the way, the Sa'dan plant is a very well-known plant. It's not in Hijaz, it's in Najd. And you've all seen pictures of it. And even here in the Midwest, you sometimes see a similar plant. The Sa'dan plant, it has thorns that are not just one thorn. Rather, the thorn is multi-pronged. So there are thorns coming from different sides of the fruit. It's not just one. And therefore, you cannot pick it from any side. If you pick it, there are sharp, very spiny, very prickly, and they're multiple sides, not just one side. So he said they will be like that, but a size will be much bigger that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. In the other hadith, in Sahih Muslim, he said they're going to be curved hooks that are coming out of Jahannam and dragging people down. These are the munafiqun. So they get to the sirat. They get to the sirat, and then the hooks will come and drag them down. It is also possible that some of the people taken will be from the fasaqa, from the sinful believers. We seek Allah's refuge, and they're going to be going temporarily into Jahannam. As for the munafiqun, those hooks will drag them to the lowest parts of Jahannam, because Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqun, the hypocrites, will be in the lowest parts of Jahannam, and they have a separate punishment for them. We'll talk about that when we get to that concept. But the fasaqa, or the sinful of the Muslims, they shall not be dragged into the depths of Jahannam. They shall be in the peripheries of Jahannam for however long Allah wants them to be. And then, as we explained in our last lesson, and also we'll explain again when we get to the issue of the fire of hell and discuss it, they shall then be taken out from that area. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in one hadith, that amana and rahim will stand on each side of the sirat. So amana means integrity. Amana means speaking the truth. Amana means fulfilling the covenants. Amana means being true to your word. And rahim means the family. So the two main things that will help you cross over the sirat is your amana, which really is your akhlaq as well, and your rahim, which is how you deal with your family, your spouse, your children, your parents, your extended family. These are the two main things, as Ibn Hajar says in this commentary of this hadith, these are the two main things that will help you to cross over the sirat in a positive or in a good manner. So dear Muslim, be careful about both of these issues and give each of them their due. And then he said, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and then people will cross over at different speeds. The first of them shall cross like lightning. Then he said, the second will be like the twinkling of an eye, then like a fast bird, then like a horse, and then like a very quick runner and jogger. And he kept on going until he said, the last one is going to be crawling, very slow crawl on all fours. So we learn from this as well, that there will be batches going over the sirat. And as-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon, the first to cross the sirat are going to be the most righteous of the people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and then the most righteous of the companions, and the rest, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. So even the order of crossing over the sirat is something that is based upon one's iman and taqwa. Dear Muslims, we learn all of these things over and over again. I hope that it has an impact on our lives. We don't want to be at the very end. We don't want to be crawling when we cross the sirat. We don't want to be, our toe is blinking on and off. Do you want that to happen to you? Obviously you don't. So then why don't we perfect our salah? Why don't we wake up for fajr and try to pray in the masjid? Why don't we sit after the salah and do our adhkar? Why don't we perfect our wudu so that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can recognize us? And the one who does this consistently throughout his life, insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal is not going going to turn away from the one who turns to him. The one who spent a lifetime doing good deeds with the intention that I want our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to recognize me. I want to cross over the Sirat in a quick manner. Then inshaAllah ta'ala, it is impossible that Allah will then turn away from that request, because Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen and Allah is Kareem, and Allah gives when the person asks. So I hope, dear Muslims, that when you listen to these lectures and you're taking notes and you're paying attention, that it's not just tidbits and information that you just store in your mind, but rather it impacts us. And again, I reiterate, I know this is a bit of a tangent here, I reiterate, the purpose of all of this knowledge is so that it translates into an actual iman of the heart, which then translates into our relationship with Allah and our relationship with others. All of this knowledge of the Day of Judgment and of Barzakh and of heaven and hell, all of this, of what use is it if it doesn't impact our actual akhlaq and our morality? So back to our lecture here, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that people are going to cross at different speeds. And then there is a phrase which is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, which is authentic hadith, and it is a very scary hadith. He said that the sirat is going to be thinner than a hair, adaqqu, thinner than a hair, وَأَحَدُّ مِنَ السَّيْفِ, sharper than a sword. And on both sides are going to be kalalib, or hooks. Kalalib is a hook. Subhanallah. The sirat is not a massive path. The sirat is razor sharp, and it is super thin. The only way we can cross over it is by Allah's mercy. The only way we can cross over it is by going at a supersonic speed, or very fast, and Allah will give us that strength that we need. And it is mentioned, Salman al-Farsi said, the famous companion, that he said that the sirat will be placed over Jahannam and it will be sharper than a sword. When the angels see that sirat, they will ask Allah, "Oh Allah, who can possibly cross over the sirat?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Man shi'tu min khalqi," whomever I choose from my creation will be able to cross that sirat. And then the angels will say, "Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik," we did not worship you, O Allah, the way that you deserve to be worshipped. This is Salman al-Farsi's statement. And of course, this statement cannot come from women desire. Even though he said it, it must, the concept and the origin must go back to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The notion of even the angels are going to be surprised. How can anybody possibly cross over the sirat? So from all of these, we get the following picture, that the sirat is a slippery path. In the version of the hadith I quoted of Abu Sa'id, that madhatun muzillatun, that it is something that is slippery, it is something that is not easy to put your foot on. It's not firm, it is very slippery. It is sharper than a sword, it is thinner than a hair. On either side of it, there are going to be instruments that will push or shove or catch or scratch. And we learn that people will be in utter darkness, and that the only way to get across will be the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they will be crossing at different speeds. And we also learn the first person to cross will be our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then by Allah's permission, our ummah, his ummah, will be the first to cross. And that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that myself and my ummah shall be the first to cross over the sirat. That hadith is Sahih Bukhari. And this affirms what he said in a previous hadith that I mentioned, that he said that نَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ السَّابِقُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And this hadith is also in Bukhari. We are the last and yet the first on the Day of Judgment. We are the last and the first on the Day of Judgment. How so? We are the last of ummas chronologically to appear. Yet we shall be the first on the Day of Judgment to have the hisab. And now we learn to cross over the sirat, and we shall learn later on and to enter Jannah. So we are, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, and this is all because of the ummah, this is because of the barakah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah azza wa jal gave him, and he blessed us to be of his ummah. We thank Allah for for being in the ummah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we get all of these perks and benefits, and we would not have gotten those perks and benefits if we were in any other ummah. So we thank Allah that we are from the ummah of the Nabi, the Kareem, the sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the arham, the ra'uf and the rahim, the one that was sent as rahmatan lil alameen, our Nabi, the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We thank Allah for that blessing, and we ask Allah azza wa jal for the shafa'a of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be fed from his hawd, and to be of those who are of the first to cross over the sirat. So we will be the first ummah to cross, and our Prophet will be the first human being to cross. Now, the other issue that we need to discuss is, will the kafir cross over the sirat or not? And the response here is that the evidences, even though some scholars said they will, the evidences seem to be very clear here, and Allah knows best, that the only people that are gonna get to the sirat will be those who had the name of Islam in this world, those who call themselves Muslims. As for those who did not, and they rejected Islam, they will not get to the sirat in the first place. And they shall enter Jahannam from a different area through the gates of Jahannam. So from the plains of the Day of Judgment, the believers will go to, as the Prophet said, هُمْ فِي الظُّلْمَةِ يُدُونَ الْجِسْرِ. They're going to be in the darkness right before the bridge, right? So the believers will get to that area. As for those who rejected Allah, and they had no iman, and they worshipped false gods, they shall be taken to a different area, and they shall enter Jahannam through the doors of Jahannam. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ. There are seven doors of Jahannam. And Allah mentions in three verses in the Quran, write this down, Surah An-Nahl, verse 29, Surah Az-Zumar, verse 72, and Surah Al-Ghafir, verse 76. In three verses, Allah mentions the exact same phrase, أُدْخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Speaking to those who rejected Allah, Allah is saying, enter the fire of Jahannam, enter the gates of Jahannam, you shall dwell therein forever. And what this illustrates is that anybody who enters Jahannam through the gates of Jahannam will never exit Jahannam. We seek Allah's refuge. So the believers who are sinful and shall be punished for a period of time will not enter Jahannam through the gates of Jahannam. Rather, as I explained multiple times, they will be in a different area of Jahannam. They will be in the peripheral regions that are closer to Jannah, up, you know, in the level, as we're going to talk about Jahannam is levels, and Jannah is also levels. And the believers who had iman, who lowered their heads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did some good deeds, they had iman and they did some good deeds, they will never be treated like Iblis or like Fir'aun or like somebody who was too arrogant to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if a believer committed sins and they deserve to be punished, their punishment will be in a separate area, and they will not be dragged into Jahannam through the doors of Jahannam. Rather, they shall fall from the sirat to a peripheral region, not to the depths of Jahannam. As for the munafiqoon, we will assume, because again, we don't know the details of this, because the munafiqoon will get to the sirat, we know this from the text, and we also know from the text, the Quran says, إِنَّ مُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqoon are going to be in the lowest depths of Jahannam. We will then make an assumption that, and this is not explicit, but it is derived, that the munafiqoon will fall from the sirat, but their fall will be different than the fall of the sinful people. Their fall will not be the fall of the fasiq. Their fall will be through different mechanisms. Maybe there's going to be separate hooks that are coming for them, and they shall be dragged to the lowest of the low. Even worse than those who rejected Allah are those who pretended to be Muslim as they rejected Allah, and that is hypocrisy. We seek Allah's refuge from that. So we learn from this that the people of Iman will get to the Sirat, and that majority of them, or many of them, will cross over, but some of them will fall from the Sirat into the peripheries of Jahannam. Now, we have to now ask the question here. The people who are falling into Jahannam, the people who are, and we seek Allah's refuge, we don't want to be amongst them. Did they know that they're going to be falling into Jahannam? And it appears, and again, these are all things that we're deriving from the text, it appears, and Allah knows best, that those believers who are falling into Jahannam, they are expecting to fall in. Why? Because the results have already been given. The examination has occurred. The hisab has taken place. These scrolls have been handed out, right? The mizan has already been demonstrated. And so everybody already knows their fate. And so the manifestation of that fate is already known to them, but now it's going to go through it. So the ones who are falling into Jahannam, it's not a surprise for them. They have been told beforehand that because of this, you know, suppose we seek Allah's refuge, somebody murdered somebody, somebody did whatever they did, major sins, but they're a believer, okay? So they deserve to be punished. They have been told on the plains of the Day of Judgment that you're going to go to Jahannam because that's their punishment. And so they're expecting it. It's not something that, now obviously it is understood that there is still hope for them that they're crossing, their heart will be yearning for Jannah, but it's not going to be a surprise that they end up where they end up because they have already been informed. However, we can also make another assumption from the generalities of the text. And all of these, by the way, I am very clear. When I make an assumption, I stated it as assumption. When I say the Quran and Sunnah says, I'm very clear because you should all know the differences between these. My assumptions could be right and wrong. The Quran and Sunnah is obviously never wrong in this regard. So an assumption we make as well in this regard is that there will be people, this is an assumption, who are told that they're going to go to Jahannam and they expect to go to Jahannam, but they shall be saved by simply scratches or by the fear of going to Jahannam, and they don't actually go to Jahannam. And that punishment of thinking they're going to go to Jahannam, or as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, some will be scratched but still saved. Okay, scratched but saved, what does that indicate? It indicates there's a category of people that their punishment was that what happened on the bridge. That they thought that they're going to go to Jahannam, and they were punished in a certain manner by the scratches coming, by the hooks coming out, by the thought that they're being dragged. The hook comes and it just misses them. Allah's qadr. No, in the end of the day, obviously, nobody can be safe unless Allah wills them. It misses them, but it leaves some pain and suffering and some scratches. That pain and suffering, along with the torture of thinking that they're going to go to Jahannam, that is what their kafara was for the sins of this world. And eventually, they get to the end and they shall then make it to Jannah. So, from all of these texts, therefore, we learn and we can derive that the munafiqun and the fasiq and the mu'min, all three will get to the bridge. That the munafiq will immediately be taken out because they are not even going to get, the light will be taken away from them. And either they fall in directly or from the hook, we do not know. They could possibly just fall in directly, we do not know. And in either case, whether it is a hook or whether it is falling in directly, they shall go to a different part of Jahannam. And that is reserved specially for them. Okay, they have a special status in Jahannam. Then the believers and the righteous of the believers and the unrighteous, so the wicked or the evil of the believers, they will cross over the Sirat, and the first batches are going to be going at the speed of light. I already mentioned, it's interesting that our Prophet ﷺ said the speed of light, so the physics majors here can read into that. And then the speed of horses, this and that, so they're going to be going super fast, and they cross over, and they're all fine. Slowly, people are going to be going less, you know, quickly, and then some are going to slip but recover. Some are going to be injured or harmed by the hooks that are coming but still make it. And that injury or that harm or that terror shall be the kafara of the sins that they did. And so it is possible some people will be told you're going to Jahannam, and they don't go to Jahannam because Allah's mercy is going to come in and save them at the very 11th hour. This is the very end time. This is the last time, that's it. Because if you're not saved now, khalas, there's no other place to go. So there will be a batch of like this as well. And then this is how the unrighteous of the believers are going to enter Jahannam. A different area, they're going to be taken from the bridge, and they're going to fall into a special area of Jahannam, not the depths of Jahannam, but rather the peripheral regions of Jahannam. And there will also be each one in accordance with his or her crimes, and each one for the length that Allah has decided for them. And then, of course, Shafa'ah will kick in after that, and I already talked about shafa'ah, that there are going to be people that eventually batches by batches are going to be taken out. I already mentioned those that used to pray and fast and give zakah, their bodies are not going to be burnt by Jahannam. They will feel the heat of Jahannam, but their bodies will not be burnt by Jahannam. It is impossible in Allah's mercy that the one who was regularly praying and fasting and doing the fara'il, it is impossible that the body of that person will be burned in Jahannam, even if they physically are in Jahannam and they experience the heat of Jahannam and the pain and the suffering, but they will not be burnt because they lowered their head to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they had levels of iman and taqwa. And we mentioned there's going to be different categories below this. And then the believers are going to cross over the bridge, and once they cross over the bridge, now we get to the final, actual final stage before entering Jannah. And it is the final stage of the Day of Judgment for the believers. Of course, the Day of Judgment has already finished for the munafiq and for the fasiq and for the kafir. All of them, we've already talked about where they're going to end up. Now we have one category left, and that is the category of believers. They've crossed over the sirat. Now what's going to happen? The final, very final stage or the act of the Days of Judgment, the very final scenes of the Day of Judgment for the believers is there's one area left. One area left, one marhala, and it is called the qantara. The qantara, what is the qantara? The qantara is, in the Arabic language, the qantara is a small semicircular bridge, generally speaking. In the good old days, like they had castles and moats and whatnot. So the bridge that covers a moat, the small little bridge that goes the U shape, that's called qantara in Arabic. And it also implies a small area at the ends of the bridge as well. That's also called qantara. Okay, so that's the Arabic word qantara. And there will be a location called the qantara that the believers are going to be stopped at right before entering Jannah. So the qantara, therefore, is after the sirat and before the actual gates of Jannah. Who gets to the qantara? Only the mu'minun who are getting into Jannah. Once you've gotten to the qantara, you are not going to be dragged back into Jahannam. Okay? This is another misconception some students of knowledge have, but the hadith is very clear, as I'm going to mention now. Jayid. So what is the hadith? The qantara is not mentioned in the Quran directly. It is mentioned in the hadith, an authentic hadith. And of them is the hadith in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَخْلُصُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ فَيُحْبَسُونَ عَلَىٰ قَنْطَرَةٍ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. So, the believer shall be saved from the fire of hell, and they shall then be stopped or paused at a qantara that is between heaven and hell. What is the purpose of this pausing here? So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَيُقَصُّ لِبَعْضِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ مَظَالِمَ كَانَتْ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَتَّى إِذَا هُذِّبُوا وَنُقُّوا أُذِنَ لَهُمْ فِي دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَأَحَدُهُمْ أَهْدَى بِمَنْزِلِهِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْهُ بِمَنْزِلِهِ كَانَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. So the believers are going to be paused at a qantara between heaven and hell. What's going to happen then? Qisas between the people of the qantara. Qisas between the people that are going to enter Jannah. About issues that happen to them in this world. Madhanim. Any issues that happen to them in this world. Then when they have been cleansed and they have been purified, then they shall be allowed to enter Jannah. Okay? So the purpose of the qantara is the grudges and the problems and the disputes and the unresolved issues of this world between two believers. They're both entering Jannah, but there's unresolved disputes. That is going to be resolved in the qantara. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, once they have been purified and cleansed, and everything is now, the debts have been settled, the accounts have been cleared, then they will be allowed to enter Jannah. Then he swore, he made a qasam, he made an oath, and he said, I swear by the one who controls my life, they will know their place in Jannah easier or more clearly than one of you knows how to get home. You know, when you're in the city, how do you get home? They will know their place in Jannah even more, intrinsically. Point being that they don't need directions. Point being that when they get to Jannah, they will intrinsically know that house is mine, and they're going to go there and they're going to find their way exactly where it is. Even easier than the way you get from your work to your masjid to your house, you know exactly how to go, which roads to take, what not. So even more clear it will be for the people of Jannah. May Allah make us amongst them. Now, what we're interested in right now, we're going to talk about heaven and hell in the future lessons. What we're interested in now is this notion. Now, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? When the believers are saved from Jahannam, they shall be delayed upon a qantara. This is a very explicit phrase. Those who have reached the qantara are not going to go to Jahannam. That's it. They are now safe. They have gotten to the qantara. They have gotten to that stage now. Therefore, the question arises, why now? Why now? And the response is that this is a purification for the final batch of purification. This is for the trivial matters that don't deserve Jahannam. Because you see, everybody wrongs somebody else. We seek Allah's refuge, but who amongst us has not backbited somebody else? Who amongst us has not hurt another believer? Who amongst us has not done something they shouldn't have done? This is human nature. So in Allah's perfect justice, and only Allah can give perfect justice, no one can enter Jannah until the debts have been settled. No one can enter Jannah until the smallest of misdeeds has been resolved. So the qantara is the final purification and the perfection of Allah's justice. And it will be between people of Jannah. This is a separate qisas from the one of the Day of Judgment. The one of the Day of Judgment can decide heaven and hell. Murder, or somebody that you ruined his life and it's a big vulm to the point of the person is going to go to Jahannam, that's going to be already done. We're not talking about that stuff. That stuff has already been done. We're talking about the trivial things that will not earn Jahannam, will not earn Allah's anger and wrath and la'na. That type of punishment has already been decreed, has already been destined. We've already crossed that. That's the hisab, that's the mizan, that's the scrolls, that's the deeds. All of that has happened now. Now we get to the finer details, the fine tuning. Now we get to the issues of he said, she said. And in Allah's perfect justice, that he said, she said is not going to go unchecked. That small irritation or nuisance, that sarcasm, that mockery, that belittling, it will not go unchecked. Because Allah is the Malik and the Dayan. As the Hadith of Bukhari says, Allah is saying, I am the Malik and I am the judge. No one that has any issue with another person will go to Jannah or Jahannam until that issue is resolved. This is the Hadith Qudsi in Sahih Bukhari. And Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that the purpose of the qantara is very simple. And that is that only people of pure hearts will enter Jannah. So if somebody has a grudge, they can't enter Jannah. If somebody has a pain from another, they can't enter Jannah. If somebody has a debt that is unsettled, somebody still feels, hey, that guy hurt me, and he's still here. Somebody has that in his heart, they cannot enter Jannah. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. We shall remove all of the rancor in their hearts before they enter Jannah. Surah Al-Hijr, verse 47. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. We shall remove all the enmity, jealousy, hatred, rancor in their hearts. That will take place at the qantara. In the stage of the qantara, the last phase before Jannah, everybody will now be able to get rid of that evil and anger. Oh Allah, that person, he lied about me. Oh Allah, that person, he hurt me. Oh Allah, that person cracked a joke and hurt my feelings. I was insulted. But overall, he's a righteous man. He's prayed tahajjud, he's given charity, he's sponsored orphans. You know, one sarcastic comment is not going to cause him to go to Jahannam. And subhanAllah, dear brothers and sisters, isn't Allah so merciful? Because me and you, if somebody said one bad thing about me, I would say, khalas, you're going to Jahannam. You're a munafiq, you're this and that, right? My mind is clouded. My emotions get the better of me. If one person did something wrong with me, I will ignore a lifetime of good. And I will say, this person hurt my feelings. He's an evil munafiq, hypocrite, a'udhu billahi, a'udhu billahi. That's what happens, right? See, Allah is Rahman and Rahim, and Allah is Malik, and Allah is Ad-Dayyan, and Allah is the one who is Hakam and Adil. He is the one who decides, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is ultimately just. He can tell, this person made a mistake with you, but he doesn't deserve to go to Jahannam. That's why we trust Allah, we don't trust ourselves. We trust Allah, we don't even trust our parents on the Day of Judgment. We trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What this shows, and this is an eye-opener for all of us dear Muslims, it's an eye-opener. It shows that you're going to have problems with people, and people will have problems with you, and you will still, all of you, enter Jannah. That's the purpose of the Qantara. Just because you don't like somebody means nothing about them going to heaven and hell. Stop thinking that you're playing God just because they did something wrong with you. If they did something wrong with you, they have done wrong with you. That doesn't mean that their whole lives are evil. Sometimes people become clouded by emotionality and they do something stupid, ridiculous, haram, dhulm with one person, but they're still good with all the other of mankind. So Allah will judge and Allah will decide the wrong that this person did. Is it worthy of going to Jahannam? Maybe it is. Maybe, for example, just give me an example, somebody murdered another person and didn't repent. Subhanallah, if somebody murdered a human being, so what if he gave $100 in charity? Murder, generally speaking, deserves to go to Jahannam. That's going to be decided on the Day of Judgment. And that, before this point in time. And that person will potentially be dragged to Jahannam. And if even if they were righteous, they will spend a long time in Jahannam for that murder. But suppose a person had a fight with another person and hearts became hard and things were said, emotions got involved, okay? Backbiting was done. Who amongst us is totally free of that ever happening in our lives? Subhanallah, in Allah's rahmah, in Allah's mercy, that type of stuff, inshaAllah ta'ala, if overall the person was righteous, inshaAllah, they will get to Jannah, but not clean. You still have the mini hisab, the qantara. And what will be the currency? The same thing as on the Day of Judgment, and that is the good deeds now. Okay? In this case, there is not going to be the bad deeds to go to Jahannam because you have now passed. As the Prophet ﷺ said, once they have crossed over Jahannam. So this is not to that level. Again, I hope you understand this point here. So what we can derive is that at the Qantara, what will happen is the finer details of Jannah. For example, somebody deserved, you know, the level, you know, such a level, but they did wrong to another. So certain perks and privileges that they had shall now be given to the one that they wronged. Okay? Whatever blessing Allah had given, the package that Allah had given a person, from that package, things will be taken out and handed over to the one that they did wrong. Now, dear Muslims, do you want something to be taken out of the prize Allah has given you because of a mistake you did? Do you want some eternal blessing that Allah has promised you? Allah is telling you, you earned all of this. I'm giving you all of this. You're jumping for joy. Then you are told, ah, but you hurt somebody's feelings. You backbited. You did this and that. I have to take this out and give it to that person. Would you like that? Alhamdulillah, we got into Jannah at this stage. Alhamdulillah. But would you like an eternal blessing to be taken away and given because of your own foolishness and mistake and arrogance? And that is why our Prophet ﷺ said that make sure you resolve your problems between yourselves in this dunya before the akhirah. That's why he said it. You don't want that to happen. And therefore, in this world, try to have as pure of a heart as possible. Forgive as much as you can those who wronged you. And overlook and do what you can to yourself. Even if somebody wrongs you and you expect your reward from the akhirah, you make sure you don't wrong them back. Because you don't want to, on that day, have to give up your perks and privileges to somebody else. And so the Qantara, it demonstrates for us the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows us that no injustice is ever going to go unchecked. That Allah is the ultimate, the one who will manifest justice. And that's why he said, I am the king and I am the judge. It also shows us, as I said, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is possible that people have wronged each other and yet still they enter Jannah. And that's exactly what Allah says in Surah Al-Hijr, verse 47. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. We have removed from what is their hearts of animosity and jealousy and hatred, and they shall be brethren. Even in this world, they were not brethren. They were fighting. They were not talking to one another, but they were all righteous people. And subhanAllah, you know, beautiful statement comes to mind here that Ali radiallahu an and Muawiyah radiallahu an, as you know, they had a political issue and they went to war and whatnot. And somebody said something negative about Muawiyah radiallahu an in front of Ali radiallahu an. And he said, don't say that. Don't say anything bad. So the man said, how are you irritated that, you know, I said something bad about Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and we're going to war with them? And Ali radiallahu anhu quoted this verse that I just quoted you, Surah Al-Hijr verse 47. He said, I hope that Allah makes me and Muawiyah a part of this verse. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. I hope that even if we're fighting and going to war for political reasons, I don't want in the akhirah any issues to happen. And I hope that this anger and animosity that the two groups have shall be removed from our hearts and we shall be together in Jannah. That's the attitude and philosophy that we should have. And that is the point of the Qantara. The final point here is that the Qantara, where exactly is it? Is it another bridge? Or is it the end of the bridge of Jannah? The bridge of the Sirat. And Ibn Hajar mentions that both opinions have been mentioned in this regard. And he says that Al-Qurtubi said that the Qantara is the end, Al-Qurtubi said that the Qantara is a separate mini bridge after the bridge of Sirat. And Ibn Hajar said, most likely it is the end of the Sirat, not a separate bridge. And this is the position that I also lean towards, that it does not appear to be a second bridge. Rather, it appears to be, you know, when the bridges end in those days, they would have a large area there, okay? So that's the Qantara. That before you get to the plains of Jannah, before you get to the doors of Jannah, there's going to be at the end of the Sirat. So you've crossed over the Sirat, and Jahannam is now behind you. And before you get to the gates of Jannah, there's going to be a massive area that's called the Qantara. And that Qantara is still connected to the Sirat. This is what Ibn Hajar leans towards. In the end of the day, obviously, we're not certain either way. And we will all find out, inshaAllah ta'ala. We hope that Allah Azza wa Jalla makes us to those who cross the Qantara without any issue. Once you cross the Qantara, khalas, you are now in front of the gates of Jannah. And so, brings us to the conclusion of our lengthy series, Alhamdulillah, Thumma Alhamdulillah, that we have finished the entire Day of Judgment in a relatively detailed manner. I would say this is an intermediate to advanced level that we've done, that a very thorough, Alhamdulillah, summary of the aspects of the Day of Judgment from the beginning to the end, directly from the Quran and the Sunnah. And now we get to the end of this series, but we have another series that is going to begin, inshallah ta'ala, from next week. And that is now the description of Jannah and Jahannam. So as I come to the conclusion of this series, and we're still going to continue, so it's going to be a continuous thing for us. But still, I want to reiterate what I said around half an hour ago, that I hope, dear Muslims, that this knowledge is not just something that you sit back and you enjoy. I hope that you think long and hard about each one of these stages, about each one of these aspects, because it's going to happen. إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. It's going to happen. We're going to see every single one of these things in front of our eyes. We shall see the hisab, the mizan, the sirat. We shall see the hawd. Question now, do you want to be of those who are drinking from the hawd? Do you want your mizan to be heavy? Do you want your scales to be in the right hand side? Do you want your feet to be firm on the sirat? Do you want to be having light on that day? Do you want to cross at the speed of light? Do you want to cross over the qantara? Every one of these stages, we all know, subhanallah, we know how to do them. We know how to pass the test. We know how to be amongst the highest of the high. So the purpose of these lectures and the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into so much detail, and the Prophet ﷺ told us so many things, is so that it impacts our character, our rituals, our relationship with other people. The religion of Islam is not just about abstract knowledge. It is meant to better our lives, to provide us purpose and meaning, to find comfort in the struggles that we're going through, to give a nobility to our lives, and to make us better human beings in this world, so that we can save ourselves from all of this and enter the pleasure of Allah in the next world. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of the righteous, and He blesses us to be of those who pass every one of these stages. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes us to be sheltered on the Day of Judgment, when there is no shelter other than His shelter. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognizes and calls to by name. I pray that we drink from the hawd, the drink that will forever and ever and ever quench our thirst. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an easy hisab, and I seek refuge in Allah from a hisab, from an accounting that is line by line. I pray that Allah azza wa jalla causes us to be of those who have no hisab or an easy hisab. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us our results in the right hand. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the mizan heavy for us on the day of judgment. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the day of judgment to go by in the twinkling of an eye like the righteous, and that we're not prolonged on the day of judgment. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who on the day of judgment that la yasma'una hasisaha, they will not even hear the problems of that day, and that wahum min faza'in yawma'idhin aminun, and they're going to be secure from the terror of the day of judgment. I pray that Allah blesses us with iman in this world so that we can have aman and iman on the day of judgment against the terrors of the day of judgment. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who are given the light with a brightness and a shining light that is bigger than the mountains itself. I pray that Allah makes us of those who say Rabbana atmim lana nurana waghfir lana. I pray that Allah makes us of those who are running and racing and rushing, seeing the light in front of us, guiding the way for us. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who cross the sirat at the speed of light. And I pray that Allah makes us of those who pass over the qantara quickly and swiftly. And I pray that He makes us of the first batches that enter Jannah. And I pray that Allah azza wa jalla blesses us to be of those of Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with righteous iman and taqwa. May He make us of those who the very last phrase of our lives is going to be La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. May Allah make us of those whom the Prophet ﷺ grants shafa'at on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brighten our faces on that day and make us of those who are of the salihin. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we come to the conclusion of this series. I pray that it was of some benefit. If there's any mistakes that have been made, they are from myself and shaitan. If there's any good that has come to you, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah azza wa jal alone. I ask Allah for acceptance and qabool, and I ask Allah for istighfar for any mistakes. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will continue another exciting and new series, the series about heaven and hell. Until then, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون